And so, Father, we thank Thee for it. And Father, may it be real to us. And we think of even the theme of the Easter program, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we thank Thee for that. So bless our time this morning, Lord. Bless the families gathered together. Bless each one of us. We pray, Lord, that Thy will be done this morning. We know it's a little different schedule this morning, and yet we're thankful to be together. Thanks for a beautiful sunrise. And Lord, we know that even from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name's to be praised. And hallelujah. We thank Thee that Thou didst arise. Help us to follow Thee. Live in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Be strong in our hearts. Fill us with Thy Spirit. Direct us this day for Thy kingdom and for Thy glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, brother. Let's look at a few of these verses here. Through Mark 16, verse 8. Let's look at a couple verses, and we'll read the rest of the scripture, and then we'll go to almost said lunch. Then we'll go to breakfast. Did anybody eat breakfast already this morning? Did anybody sneak in down in the kitchen and get anything this morning? Some did, and that's okay. I did too. I kind of have a little routine, so I did my little routine this morning, you know. And so anyway, let's look at this scripture. You know, and again, we could talk about a lot of things here. There's lots of things that could be talked about, but I think one key, look at verse 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. You know, and I just, you know, the word, you know, they looked and they saw. And you know, and it's, you know, there are a lot of, an eyewitness, I guess, is better than an ear witness. You know, I mean, they looked and they could see it for themselves. You know, seeing is believing, isn't it? You've used that phrase, I'll believe it if I see it. You show it to me and I'll believe it. I've got to see it. I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. And seeing is believing. And I like this because they saw it. And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away. And look at verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. So they saw this angel. And then look at verse 6. The end of verse 6 says, behold, look at the place. Look at this where they've laid him. Behold this place. And again, I can't help but to think of our time in the garden, in the garden tomb. You know, and going there, they don't say that this is where this is the tomb where Jesus was laid. It said it could be. It's possible it could be. But in that tomb, you walk in, there's a door, there's a small door, and you walk in, and there's a small room, and then those that were dead were buried off to the right as you walk in. There are a couple places. And it's just interesting, because, I mean, you know, again, I don't put a lot of stock in the fact that that would be the tomb, because there may be many like that. But when it says that in verse 5, and entering the sepulcher, they saw a young man, they saw the angel sitting on the right side, and he said, you know, you walked in, and that would be startling too, to see this angelic being and say, it's off to the right side. And look, right there it is. Now again, I bring back memories. And if any of you could go, sorry about my voice, but if any of you could go to Israel and you have that chance, and I, you know, again, We were blessed that the church, you paid our way. I mean, that was just, I'm humbled by that. So thank you. It was such a wonderful trip. But you off to the right is where it was. And they could see it. And I think that's so important. Show me. Show me is what, and they could see that he's not there. You know, and that stone is rolled away too. They could walk right in. Why was a stone rolled away? I mean, Jesus needed a way to get out, right? Wrong. Jesus didn't need a way to get out. I mean, he could have gone through the stone. He can go through walls. He can go through doors. Anything. The stone was rolled away so we could go in and see. You know, so we could look. And I just think that's a wonderful thing that these ladies were able to see. Just let's go to verse 6 then too. I think that, you know, the key then again, those three words, that he is risen. You know, he is risen. I remember talking to a young man at Outreach, and he was he was from another country. He came along with some of the young people from Illinois. He came out and I just engaged him in a conversation. I said, "Well, you know, where are you at in your spiritual journey?" And he says, "Well, I'm just really searching. You know, I'm looking." And he was not raised in a Bible believing environment. He wasn't taught the Bible, and he was learning all this. And I, you know, just and then my mind went to the resurrection. I said, "You know, the key, you know, the most important part is, did Jesus rise from the dead? Is he risen?" And I said, you know, on that Christianity stands and falls on the resurrection. And here the angel said, he's risen. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, we're so thankful for that fact, that he is risen. Another thing let's look at. Verse 7. "But go your way and tell his disciples." And I like those next two words. See those next two words? You go tell his disciples. But, and I think Jesus, I mean, don't you love Jesus? We love Jesus, but so many reasons why we love Jesus. This is another reason that we love Jesus. You know, because Jesus was full of grace. He says, go tell the disciples and make sure you tell Peter. You know, tell Peter. You know, because Peter was grieving, you know, from rejecting Jesus. And I think that is so critical of the character of Jesus. And it just doesn't surprise us. I mean, it's what we expect, you know, and we think of ourselves, you know, if the angel would say, go tell his disciples. Would you go tell the disciples? And would you go tell Ron too? Just go tell him. Or would you go tell the disciples? And would you tell Brandy too? Or, you know, go tell the disciples. And, you know, would you tell Billy too? You know, or would you tell Gibson too? Go. And I think our name could be in there. That's such a precious thing to me. You know, because Jesus was thinking about Peter, and he was thinking, and I think we can put our name in there. You know, he's thinking about us. And I really love that and appreciate that. You know, the grace, the amazing grace that Jesus then bestows. You know, I mean, sometimes we act in an inappropriate way, and I think that's exactly what Peter did. He acted in an inappropriate way, but God could use him. And it's even the story of Mark. I love the story of Mark. I mean, Mark was the one that went on the missionary trip, and then something happened, and he left and went home. And Peter says, I'm not taking Mark with me. I mean, Mark was in a sense of failure at a particular time, but when God wanted somebody to write, to pen the suffering servant, he said, Mark, I want you to pick up the pen. You know, I think that just shows grace too, that The grace bestowed to men, the grace bestowed to us. So, and then, and remember what Jesus said? And he gave him a mission then. Use those failures. And he said, "Go when you're converted, go strengthen the brethren. You know, use that example and strengthen the brethren." He exactly did. And he says, "Go feed my sheep." I mean, what a great message. What a challenge to each one of us. Let's look at verse, let's look at verse 8 then. It says, "And they went out quickly," we referred to a little bit, "and fled from the sepulcher, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man." It really doesn't, I think it just, it doesn't mean they didn't say anything because other scripture talks about it. But they were so, they didn't talk about it right then. They were so amazed, they were reduced to silence. They couldn't speak. You know, they just were, I think we'd have been the same way. I don't think we'd have said a thing. You know, and also, could you imagine Mary Magdalene and her thought process, what she would be thinking about at this time? You know, being for having been redeemed and the demons cast out of her, and just the joy of course, she didn't believe at this point. Now, you know, I guess we do get to the point where she, when she does see Jesus, and then the joy that she had, but, you know, the amazement of the whole story is just a wonderful thing. Now we're to verse 9. And I'm watching the clock. I have an amplified Bible at home. I like to look up different words, you know, because it amplifies some of the words. And to be real honest with you, I don't like Mark chapter. I like it up to this point. Let's close the book. Well, we could talk a little bit more. I mean, we could talk more about the first verses. But at this point, now listen, this is interesting. At this point, what does the Amplified Bible say? And what does many Bibles say? The King James does not say it. Why doesn't it say it? When the King James was translated, they used the current manuscripts that they had. Okay? The current manuscripts. So they would take Mark, and they'd look at the current manuscripts, and they would translate it. And it went from 8, it went to the end. And this has always bothered me. I just close the book, and I don't even think about it. I don't like it. I don't like to talk about it. It's a hard subject, and we don't preach about it either. We just ignore it. I don't think Brother Greg's ever talked, when I've been here, I don't think he's ever talked about it. I don't think Brother Ken's ever talked about it, not when I've been here. But the ending, so, okay, now go to the Amplified Bible, which is a more recent translation. They found newer manuscripts, earlier manuscripts. So they looked at those earlier manuscripts. Oh no. Guess what? Mark ended at verse 8. It was over. Erase 9 through 20. It was not there. And it says that in those Bibles. I mean, I'm just, and I asked Edie, and I asked Seth, and I asked Daniel, and I asked Kaylin. I said, "Should I even talk about this? I don't even want to talk about it because I don't like it in a sense." You know what I'm saying? Because there's some manuscript conflict. Is that a problem? It was in my mind until I looked into it a little bit. I'm here to tell you, it's not a problem. It does not bother me. It does not bother me one bit. It bothered me up until today. Actually, this week. It bothered me till today. Okay? So what will I tell you? Well, I'll tell you this. Remember on February 11th, 2015? we did the Bible study on "Oh, How I Love Thy Law." And I gave evidence for Scripture being God's Word. God has written the Bible. He has not stuttered. He has spoken. That is true. It's still true. Now, the Scriptures may be likened into a lion that does not need to be defended, but merely loosened and let it defend itself. And I like that too. You don't need to defend the Bible. You read the Bible and you see, this is true. This is true. And you see that. And the other thing, the best evidence of the Bible being the Word of God is found between its covers. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. If you want this study, I'll give it back to you. But, you know, I look at this and I said, I have no trouble. I have no problem with that. The earlier manuscripts, and I don't know. How do I know? What do I know? What do you know right now? I mean, what would be your comment on that? Mark ends at verse 8, stops. The earliest manuscripts stop. We can only suppose kind of a little bit what happened. Now, this is how I kind of settle it, settled in my mind. And, you know, no, I don't think any final conclusion can be reached. But this is what I'll say. God breathed the Bible. Okay? And so God inspired Mark. Mark got to verse 8 and he stopped. That's the earliest manuscripts that they have. If you look back, you know, the scholars will study that. Now, the later manuscripts, there's some things added. Well, you know, why did that happen? Did Mark pass away? I mean, I asked Edie, I said, well, what do you think happened? She said, well, Mark probably died. He could have died. You know, he was writing and he got to this point and who knows what happened. I mean, So if you look at some of the newer translations, you'll get this. There'll be a bracket around those scriptures. And I want to be careful because I don't want to put doubts in anybody's mind. We don't want doubts in anybody's mind, but it's there. You read the Amplified Bible, it says these were not contained in the original document. So how do I view that, at least me personally? And I know I'm not going to come up with any, because, you know, there'll be some guesses based on evidence. But as we look at this, the early church, look at the writings of some of the early church. And you know, I could give you some of their names. I have some of their names, but I can't pronounce them, and they don't mean much to me. There are no Davids and Joels and, you know, Johns and, you know, interesting names. And they write about it, and they quote Mark, and it may be 100. The early church accepted the what was added on. It wasn't originally there, but they accepted it. And it agrees with Scripture, and we can see that. And we have an accurate Bible, and the Holy Spirit preserved it. And it was part of the canon. When the early church decided, what are we going to put together as a Bible? They said, yes, we're going to include all of Mark. Is that enough said? Okay. I mean, it is so interesting. If you want some more resources on this, let me know. But I went and I got out, I have some books at home that talk about the evidence for Scripture. Like More Than a Carpenter is a book I have at home. And I look at that. So I went last night and I said, More Than a Carpenter. I just want to read through this again. I said, yes, this is good. Oh, totally. I mean, the Bible, so, you know, not that I doubted, but I just wanted to be reaffirmed. Okay? Don't let that, when you read that, that this was not included, don't let that bother you a bit. If it does, please come see me. Because I'll guarantee it does not bother me a bit. And it shouldn't bother you a bit. Now, it did for, how old am I? It did for years. I'd get to Mark, I'd just flip on. I'm not even thinking about it. And I didn't ask anybody about it. I wanted it to be a dark secret. And now I thought, hey, if we do Mark 16, I have to talk about it. The dark secret is, and maybe you don't even, I mean, maybe I'm talking to nobody but myself. And if I'm talking to myself, I've been blessed just by going through that. Okay, let's read the rest. Let's read the rest of Mark. And the other thing, let me say one more thing. Every one of these incidences from Mark 9 on are in other passages. They appear in other scriptures. So it all goes together anyway. could have been added later. And the early church father says, this is good. Let's take it. Let's accept it. Okay, verse 9. And it's good. I like it. It's a beautiful, beautiful, there's some beautiful, beautiful teachings that tie in with what John said, that tie in with what Luke said, that fulfill what Acts says. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And that's a wonderful story. It's in John. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. So it says early, it says they didn't, back at verse 8, it says they didn't tell anyone. Well, that means at that time they just didn't, they kept it to themselves. They were so in awe, they were speechless, basically. But then when they got to the disciples, then they could tell them. They could share that good news. And they, when they heard it, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, that's just hearing. I don't believe it. Believe not. After that, he appeared. I love this story, too. After that, he appeared. This is in Luke. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them. Remember on the road to Emmaus? As they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the residue. Neither believe they them. Yeah, resurrection doesn't happen every day. And yet Jesus would tell that. I love that. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to rise in 3 days. He told that over and over. Even when we read through Mark, he said, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to raise in 3 days. I'm going to go to the cross and raise in 3 days. Who believed it? The heathens believed it. They said, when that guy was alive, he said he's going to raise in 3 days. Let's make that tomb secure. Put a seal there. Put a stamp on it. Nobody's getting in that tomb. Those disciples aren't coming and stealing that body. Put a guard there. Who believed it? The unbelievers believed it. The believers, no. They didn't believe this thing. They still don't believe it at this point because they hadn't seen. It's just fascinating. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. Jesus scolded them a little bit with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, now, where does this come from? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Where's that at? That's Matthew. It's in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. You remember that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teach him, observe all things, whatever command you. I mean, that's right there. So it just all ties together. It was just written a little bit later. That does not bother me one bit. Used to, no more. That's final. But it is very fascinating to me. It's still fascinating. Verse 17. And as you read these, think about Acts. Think about some of the the book of Acts. Think about some of the events that happened in the book of Acts. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And they shall speak in new tongues. Did that happen in the book of Acts? Yeah. Paul cast out some demons in the book of Acts. These signs will follow. And they shall speak in new tongues and in new languages. Did that happen? That sure did. I mean, they spoke in new languages. So this is just... And they shall take up servants. Paul took up a serpent and it bit him in the hand. It doesn't say take up servants. It says if that happens to you... they'll not be hurt. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I mean, that's not a blanket statement. I mean, I run away from snakes. I was out in the creek and I saw this colorful, wild-looking snake. I guarantee you, I scurried. I got out of there and I found a club. I mean, I found a piece of wood. I was getting away from that snake. You know, I don't want to. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's not what it means. I mean, you've heard stories of that. The rest of the verse. Verse 18, and they shall lay hands on the sick. It's exactly what happened. And they shall recover. Verse 19 and 20, last two verses. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Thank you, Jesus. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working them with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You know, as we think about this, wow. I'd love to go to Luke chapter 24. I love that story. Remember on the road to Emmaus? And I've shared that story, and you've probably heard it. It's a wonderful Easter story where the Jesus told the men on the road to Emmaus, listen, go back and read the Old Testament. Go back and read what the Old Testament says. And he confirmed that. And that's one thing that confirms my faith, seeing all the prophecies of Jesus. And we see that on the road to Emmaus. And then he, with the disciples, he said the same thing. He said, it's been written of me. Just believe this. And he says, when you believe this, then there's one response. And let's just stick with this. Let's not go to Matthew 28. Let's stick with this, and this is where we finish. You know, if we find the light, we need to share that light. You know, I'm being increasingly more convicted that the only way we can turn our country around is not politically. It's not in the White House. It's in the church house. It will not happen unless we take this message out. I mean, the message of Jesus' resurrection. You look at the disciples. That's all they talked about. Excuse me. You read through the book of Acts. That's what they said. Look at the resurrection. Look at the resurrection. Look at the resurrection. That's what they preached. What's our response? Our response is to go. Now, the disciples didn't go right away. They stayed in Jerusalem. Then they went to Judea. They stayed in Jerusalem for a while. Then they finally went to Judea because of persecution. You know, and I find it interesting, too, that the Coptic Church, you've heard of the Coptic Church, and last week the bombings and so on. The Coptic Church was one of the first churches that's in Egypt. And that church, they say that that's on Easter, at least that's what I read, I don't know. So Edie couldn't have, Mark couldn't have died. I just thought of that. Couldn't have worked. It didn't work. Wouldn't make sense. He didn't die, and then, you know, that's it. Mark's over. But that's a great thought, and I thought it too, till right now. But they say that Mark was martyred on Easter Day in Egypt. Isn't that interesting? And again, I'm not sure that's true. But we see this persecution. You know, you know how we can prevent persecution? Be the salt of the earth. And again, I'm being more convicted about this, just personally, that I have a personal responsibility to take this out and share it, to go. Now, I don't have to. And what does Jesus say? You're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, how will it be salted? But it's going to be cast out, and the enemy will walk on you, tread you down, stomp, you know, and I think of boots coming over the top of me. You know, like the seed that falls on the wayside. You know, on the path, it gets stomped and trampled down. You know, we have a responsibility as a church, and I feel that responsibility. And I think it's right here in Scripture. It says, go. Please go. You go and teach. Or go and share the good news. As God opens a door, go and share it. Share that light. Because it's a wonderful story. I'm telling you, it's the best story. I love to read stories to my grandkids. I found a book on penguins. I love the story of the penguin. And it has something to do with the resurrection, a little bit. So I've got this. I love to share it. I mean, I really do. I read it to Japan via FaceTime. I mean, I read the story to the grandkids in Japan. And I, you know, here's this penguin. The mother lays the egg, and she goes away. She goes. The father takes that egg and sits on it, puts it between its feet, gets it off the ice, and it keeps it warm. And he misses one meal. This is this book, and it's great. Misses one meal. It's a great story. I want to tell you about it. I mean, but don't we want to tell people about Jesus? Yes, we do. Don't we want them to have forgiveness of sins? Yes, we do. Don't we want them to have peace? Yes, we do. Don't we want them to have purpose? Yes, we do. We want to tell that story. Let me finish this just real quick, because it has a little bit to do, because this is the egg, you know. And that's such a, how does that happen? That little penguin will be born out of there. But listen to this. Dad misses one meal. Misses breakfast. He's sitting on, he got holding that egg. He misses lunch. Can you believe it? Make dad miss breakfast and lunch sitting on that egg. He can't go anywhere. He misses dinner. That's crazy. One day he sits on that egg. Next day comes up, he's still there. Still sitting on that egg. Misses breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No food. He skips the next day. 3 days. How long can this penguin do this? 3 days. That's it. No. He goes 1 month. You're kidding. No. He sits on that, or stands on it, or whatever. He doesn't stand on it, doesn't sit on it. He holds that egg for 1 month. He holds it for a month and a day. He holds it for 60 days. Unbelievable. No food, just sitting there. I mean, what a story. Isn't that an awesome story? I mean, it really is. The miracle of that egg. How do you explain it? You can't. It's just a miracle. How do you explain the resurrection? I don't know. But we need to tell people. Let me finish the story. After 60 days, Dad looks up and says, I about had... No. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. The egg's born. The chick hatches. And Dad's got 2 weeks of food stored up in him. How? You tell me how that happens. Dad feeds that chick for 2 weeks. Dad's getting pretty exhausted. Dad's had it. He's out of food. He looks up. Guess who's coming? You know, there comes Mom. Yeah, come on, Mom. Come on back. We're about done with this. Mom comes, takes over. Isn't that fascinating? I love that story. How does that happen? I don't know. How did Jesus come raised from? I don't know, but it happened. He's alive. Because he's alive today, he can come into our heart and change us. And what an awesome story! Let's go. We come and we're the church, but let's go and share that good news with others. And this is the best day, the absolutely very best day. The finest day that God has ever made, Easter.
I think Brother Ron just changed daycare for the rest of eternity. Fathers, can you do that? What Ron spoke about. I do want to talk about, in closing up, I'd like to talk about dark secrets. And what the empty tomb means. I appreciate what Ron had to say this morning, and I just had to wonder how it's going for you right now. See, I'm convinced more and more that we are all like that, where we, and as we're walking through life, we have these things in our mind and heart that are kept secret. And I think the empty tomb is about light. It's about moving from fear to faith. It's about shedding light on darkness. And I think you and I, when we are honest with ourselves and we go to our knees and we look up to God, we in fear at times, we keep the darkness of our heart, our doubt, from a complete union and being full of His Spirit and His promise and His truth. And on this Easter morning, let's open up our heart to Him. Let's seek Jesus and the light that he provides. Let's move from fear to faith. You see, I think for all of us, it's like John's journey, where we look into it and we dig into his word and we seek Christ, and in his grace and his mercy, we'll be just like Peter, right? You think Peter wasn't discouraged? You don't think Peter thought it was all over when he cursed at the thought of Jesus and he ran from Jesus? You don't think he thought it was all over? But this is the mercy of Christ. He arose from the dead, and like Brother Ron reminded us, he sent them to tell Peter. And that's what Christ is doing for you today. Don't hang your head in fear. Don't hang your head in doubt. Don't hang your head in darkness. But know that Christ is sending Christ, his Spirit, to you today so that you can move from fear to faith. It might be a long journey. It might be a quick journey. But when you and I believe with the seed of faith and we pursue Christ, we will move from fear to faith. Oh my goodness, I know that to be real. Sometimes it goes from Friday to Sunday, doesn't it? Sometimes it goes from moment to moment. But when we gather ourselves and we seek Christ, he will be merciful and he will supply all our needs. And his grace will bring us to that light of faith. You're not excluded today. Nobody's excluded that's here. Let's remember the empty tomb and the promise and the light that it brings to our darkness. That's his word. That's his truth. Somebody give out a hymn. Let's sing together.
Hail the power of Jesus. We would invite a brother now to lead us in a closing prayer, and we would ask that you'd please include the breakfast in our prayer as well.
Our Father, which art in heaven, we bow our heads before thee again in this beautiful morning hour, and even as the sun does shine through the windows, thou hast shined upon us this morning to cause us to think and ponder of this greatest of all miracles, and this wonderful love that thou did have for us, that thou did even bow down from heaven to come to this earth to live for us, to die, shed thy blood, rise again, carry our sins on the cross, that we could one day be with thee in heaven, and that we could feel thy nearness and thy Holy Spirit while we are upon this earth. We thank thee for thy Spirit that has spoken to us this morning and reminded us that we have each one been like Peter, that we have had shame and sorrow for what we have done, and did feel our need of a Savior, and thou did help us so we could repent, be converted, and be baptized. And we thank thee for thy love, that we can feel thy Holy Spirit from day to day, and thy help, and thy power, and thy might. Thank thee for the word that has gone forth, and that thou hast cared for us who have been so worthless and undeserving. We pray thou would yet call many souls. Pray that thou would bless the word as it's gone forth in this morning hour. Bless this church here in Indianapolis, that they can seek to walk close to thee in thy ways, seek to be led by thy Spirit. Go with us in this day and the days to come, that we can be a light and a help and tell the news of what thou hast done. We pray thou would bless the time we have had together, and bless the hour of fellowship we have, and bless the food that has been prepared and the many hands that have provided it. And go with us further in this day, we pray and ask. In Jesus' name, amen.